Welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. With me this week, Kieran Deal. Hello, Kieran.
Hi, hi, hi.
And Grace Parra.
Oh, guys, hi.
Joining me this week, Alyssa Mastromonaco with an update on the travesty that is the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. And then actress and comedian Michaela Watkins joins us to discuss men who call women crazy or, dare we say, hysterical. Yes, Ben Sasse, we see you. We've also got This Week in Sorry and an entire mountain range of hills we'll die on. Everything is on fire and bad, but we're here with you today to talk about that, I guess. Last night, our girl Ayanna Pressley unseated a longtime Democratic incumbent in Massachusetts. Ayanna Pressley is a woman who's kind of been a rising star in the Democratic Party for a while. Some people were kind of irritated with her running against this very established progressive member of the House, but she really took him to the cleaners yesterday.
Pressley.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw her. She's great. She was, I believe, the first Black woman on the Boston City Council, and she's always been just this unabashed progressive, and she's like very, very cool. So that is exciting. Mm-hmm. Also, if my voice sounds a little weird, the Always Sunny premiere was last night, and so I was like using bar voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you're like trying to talk over everyone else's bar voice.
Yeah, a Manhattan. That's a Manhattan, please. Another one. Another one. Yeah.
You
imagine
me?
I know that's
me?
Your drink, by the way.
I imagine me ordering Manhattan.
Yes. Yeah. I do. Is that off brand?
I feel like you would order whiskey.
Oh, thank you.
Like whiskey neat or whiskey with like two cubes of ice.
Manhattans are lovely.
I don't think I've ever had a Manhattan.
Okay, well, we know what we're doing right after this.
It's morning.
It's 8 a.m., Grace.
8 a.m.
It's 8 a.m. Grace.
I'm just so jazzed about Ayanna.
Yeah, I am too. I was talking to a friend about Hysteria. I was talking about how, like, yeah, I really like hanging out with the hosts. It's really fun. And he goes, yeah, you guys should go out for drinks after you record. And I was like, we get done recording at like 10:30 in the morning. But okay.
We'll do a little mimosa sesh.
Yeah, a little mimosa sesh. What have you guys been up to this week?
Oh, man. Well, I've been moving, actually, to a new place here in L.A. in the Beachwood Canyon area. And it's been a real, it's been a real journey. I am so excited about my new place. And
she moved like four blocks.
I did move like four blocks.
It's been a journey.
It's been a real adventure. It's just like moving into a new space, you realize you need all this stuff that you just like a not just the dish rack, but the thing underneath the dish rack that holds in the moisture so that the water doesn't get everywhere. Like, I forgot that I needed that.
Yeah, it's like the, oh yeah, that section of IKEA. IKEA has an entire section that's like, oh yeah, I need a thing that holds my bananas, or like, I need a little a tray to go in my drawer of silverware.
Or like the liner that goes into the drawer before you put in the tray to put in the silverware.
Exactly.
I'm also at the stage in my life where I guess I take advantage of good deals. So I was at hit up Ashley Furniture over Labor Day because those deals were unreal. And I guess I don't know.
This is an ad copy.
I know. This is not an ad copy. Yeah, I know. I was like, Grace is like, this is just my life now.
I love brands.
When you get overwhelmed, you just have to remember, like in Nepal and stuff, it's just like literally the kitchen just has like one pot, like one knife and one spoon. And people make amazing food with that.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's just like, everything is, you don't need that much.
Yeah. I don't need four types of mustard.
Yeah. You don't need that to make dalbat.
You don't need the liner. Like you don't need the liner.
I worry
and then
about
the
critters
tray.
Though, you know?
You know,
Don't worry about the critters. No.
Don't worry about the critters.
Let it go. Per frozen.
There's something so, I was thinking about this morning as I was coming in, because like I said at the top of the show, the world does seem to be a little bit on fire.
Oh, yeah.
But yet the just kind of daily mundanity carries on. Like people are going back to school this week. I know we have a lot of teachers who listen to Hysteria. Hello, teachers.
Shout out teachers.
Hi, teachers.
And, you know, it's just kind of, even though things are, like, it feels like coming, like the wheels are coming off a little bit. People are still getting up every morning and getting in their cars and driving to work and driving to school and teaching little shitheads how to be less little shitheads. And it's like, I don't know. I've been thinking about kind of the little joys of mundanity as like the Kavanaugh hearings go on. So I don't know. I think that's like kind of what I'm clinging to this week is like, well, I still have a microwave. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
For viewers at home, Erin is trembling as she says these words. I'm trembling in the wrists.
I'm on the verge of tears. No, I'm just really tired. Because I was out late last night, like I said, and then
drinking Manhattans.
Yeah, drinking Manhattans, and then my date took me to a taco truck, which was like extremely nice.
Which one?
It was in Echo Park. It was.
Oh, I know that one. El Flamin' Taco.
I'm not sure.
I guess I'm reading copy.
I love
now.
That we're. I love the way we're both like. It took you to a taco truck.
I loved it.
You like taco truck? I feel I've been to all the trucks, but that was so. That was very New York.
Yeah.
And then
he
took me to a taco truck, and it's
I love that. By the way,
like it's so novel. Like we've never heard of the taco truck.
It is a truck full of food.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
They have them at the late night time.
Well, we've got a lot to get into today. We've got Michaela Watkins, an alum of SNL and the show Casual on Hulu, which I love.
She's
just
so funny.
Finished its fourth season. But first, we've got to talk Kavanaugh with Alyssa Mastromonaco for a segment we're calling Uterus Weekly. Hi, Alyssa.
Hey.
Alyssa, I wish that we were in the same place right now, but you are on one coast and I'm on the other. We could just kind of hug and stroke each other's hair and talk about what a travesty the Kavanaugh hearings are.
And you could make us a pound cake.
I love that detail made the little Cosmo write-up of hysteria. It was,
You know what? And I'm glad I ate the pound cakes. It was fucking delicious.
Oh, good. Good. See, there are good things in the world, in a world full of
bullshit.
Confirmation hearings that are kind of a travesty. So yesterday, today, tomorrow, Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing will continue like the alarm clock of a roommate who spends 2 hours every morning hitting snooze. Alyssa, what did you make of day one? We're recording this at the beginning of day two of the confirmation hearing. So by the time our listeners hear this, there's going to have been more things that have happened. But what did you make, Alyssa, of the beginning of the confirmation hearing? And what do you predict will happen as it goes on?
See, I have so many feels about yesterday. So first, I thought that our pal in California, Senator Kamala Harris, was the prosecutor that we know and love her to be. And, you know, I just felt like there's so much pomp on the first day. It's like everyone bloviates and gives their opening statement, blah, blah, blah. Everybody talks too long. And but she was the one, when she started talking, I was like, God damn it, yes. Because all the Republicans were talking about the politicization of the court, blah, blah. And she was like, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Trump is the one who said he was going to stack the court with pro-life justices and said he would overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
Ipso facto, it is completely appropriate for us to drill down on whether that is actually what Kavanaugh feels. And I thought that that was such a, you know, reporters are just saying in all of the, you know, the reporting last night and this morning, it's like, oh, Republicans still have 51. So this is all basically like, you know, a show. And it's like, doesn't matter. He still has to say what he thinks and they still need to release those damn papers.
Yeah. How many pages are that were dumped right before the confirmation hearing? Like 42,000
pages? 42,000 pages and 500 and something documents.
I can't even envision that many pages in one
place. The best part is that then Amy Klobuchar, she like jumped in on that one and she just was like, no judge would allow a document dump 12 hours before a trial. And, you know, I think as much as they can, as the Democrats can point out sort of the massive procedural breaches that are happening this time around, I think it helps.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then there was this, like, when you listen to it, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, because the thing that I think Democrats have been missing is the argument that really resonates with the American people. And the problem is, I think that the Republicans are, you know, they have an argument that sort of makes sense to a lot of people, which is like, hey, Democrats, you all said you were going to vote against him. You didn't before you saw any of his papers. So what the fuck difference do the papers make?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're like an average bear listening in the middle of America, you're like, well, that makes good sense to me. Why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was sort of like a tactical error, and that maybe Democrats should have said, we're not deciding anything until we see the papers, which would have been more helpful, I think.
Sure. But I think the Democrats are also in a tough spot because the voting base of Democrats and people that are kind of newly motivated to support Democrats out of concern for the future of their country I think what they really want is to see Democrats coming out strong. So, yeah,
I agree with that.
On one hand, I think it would have maybe been tactically smart for them to withhold judgment, to say they're withholding judgment, like you said. But on the other hand, like, can you imagine the response from the public that were like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about? You're reserving
it's
judgment?
True.
This is a person.
The progressives would have kicked the shit out of them. It's yep. true. It's literally a no win. But like one of the things, though, about yesterday that, like, can we just pause and say, can you imagine if, say, you or I was up to be a Supreme Court justice? And we spent the better part of our opening statement talking about how good our kids were at soccer or basketball, whatever the fuck sport it was.
Yeah. What was that?
Like, and how he's a coach and his kids and his daughter, she just is like 13 now. I don't give a fucking shit. I don't care at all. And also, if you are such a soccer dad, then, and you're such a great dad, why did you snub the father of a Parkland victim when he just wanted to shake your goddamn hand?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to be the dad and the dick in the same day.
Well, here's another thing. I always think it's funny when public officials try to trot out the fact that they're nice to their family, their immediate family, as some kind of qualifying right. qualifying characteristic. It's like, congratulations, you performed the bare minimum of being a person. Being nice, ooh, you like your wife? Oh, wow, congrats. You are.
It's like us sitting there and being like, also, we feed our cats daily.
Well, I mean, I don't. Mine's back in New York, but she's coming out soon.
Eleanor.
I know. She's a queen. But I want to go back to something that you were saying, because we're specifically, you know, trying to – there's a lot to focus on here, but I want to kind of bring it to reproductive rights again. Because
yeah.
you brought up a really interesting point, Alyssa. You said that, you know – I want to bring up Ben Sasse, first of all.
Oh, Mr. Hysteria?
Yeah.
He must be our number one fan.
Yeah, he's hashtag hysteria. He's given us some free publicity yesterday. Ben Sasse used the word hysteria to describe reaction to Kavanaugh or opposition to Kavanaugh. He used that word three times yesterday in his kind of bloviating yeah. opening statement, which I think is an ironic word choice since, and we'll get into more of it when in the personal political part of the show later.
Mm-hmm.
But the origin of the word hysteria is the idea that being a woman makes you insane. Like, there is something about having a womb that makes you crazy. Womb-based insanity is what hysteria is. So it's like, first of all, Ben Sasse, like, come on, dude, learn the origin of sexist words, because it wasn't even a sexist dog whistle. He was just like yelling sexism at a dog at that point.
Yeah.
But it was also like, here's something that I was thinking yesterday, and I kind of tweeted as much. A lot of the people who are opposed to Kavanaugh's nomination are women who are concerned about the end of Roe. Women who are concerned about the end of Roe because they care about their own lives, the lives of other women, and the future of America, because a country that does not allow women to have a say over the reproductive health is a country that is backsliding in a way that's embarrassing and awful. So essentially, Ben Sasse was calling women crazy yesterday.
Yep.
Women who oppose Kavanaugh's nomination, who are saying that Kavanaugh will do the thing that Republicans are saying that Kavanaugh would do, that any judge they nominated would do, that women
right.
do, that were crazy for doing that. It felt like an extreme form of just like almost cartoonish gaslighting to me. How did you feel about the Sasse statement?
So I was, first of all, it's hard to think that no one on his staff sort of picked up. Like, all this stuff is written and vetted, and so you can't take anything as off the cuff, in my opinion, when it comes to this stuff. So he was sending a message that we're so crazy. We're crazy for being upset about this. And someone made a great point yesterday that for all the things people will say about Senator Feinstein, she's literally the only person on the committee, the only woman who remembers a world before Roe.
Yeah.
And like, we have talked about this, and the fact that these the Mr., you know, Ben Hysterical Sasse was talking about this, it's like, bro, like, it's very, very simple. A world before Roe means women died. And like, just say you're cool with that. Just say that that's okay with you. Like, that's a question. It's insane. But I wish that people, all of the evidence, all of the science points to that fact. And
yeah.
so I wish that people would just be like, so Judge Kavanaugh, if you become a justice and you overturn Roe, like, you're just cool. Like, women are going to die.
Yeah. I mean, and Sasse's apparent ignorance of the fact that that does actually happen really betrayed the fact that he doesn't really notice people who don't look like him don't live like him. Because
it's such white privilege. Uh-huh. It's so crazy because, like, you and I, like, we've talked about this. I know that if I were younger and actually fertile, that I, no matter what the law, would be able to figure out how to get an abortion, right?
Right.
It's not about you and I. This is about all of the other people, all of the girls in the middle of the country who have to drive, as it is right now, 1,500 miles to try to get an abortion for whatever reason mm-hmm. they need one. And so, you know, and Ben Sasse, guess what? If one of his kids was ever in trouble, he would figure out how to help them. So this isn't about those people up on the dais.
Right. And it's also that the people that die are the people on the margins who get overlooked. Those are the people who die first. And those are the people that, you know, to kind of paraphrase our pal Ayanna Pressley, they're the people closest to pain. You know, the people on the margins are the people closest to pain and often the furthest from power. And the fact that Ben Sasse seemed completely unaware of the fact that women will die and do die as a result of a lack of access to reproductive health care is a real indicator of where his head is. He doesn't need people on the margins because those aren't his voters. And he's counting on people on the margins to be disempowered and to not stand up against people like him. And it's just kind of a sad state that we're in right now.
Can I tell you one thing I'm looking forward to and hoping that we see today?
Yes, please.
So as I was lamenting all of this, and my husband, who is not on social media, does nothing, I was just howling about this morning, and he said, well, you know, I just hope that all the Democrats ask Judge Kavanaugh about recusal. And I was like, well, wait, tell me more. And then I did some research, and I went back to Elena Kagan's hearing. And Kagan said she would and then did, as a justice, recuse herself from any cases that were before her as Solicitor General in the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kavanaugh should also, and I read something to the effect of, like, in her first year of being justice, she actually recused herself from 25 cases.
Wow.
And so what would be very interesting is, one, is Kavanaugh going to recuse himself from, you know, issues during the Bush administration and or from any decision that would come to the Supreme Court on whether or not a president can be indicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big question as well. And I'm sure there's going to continue to be more fireworks as this goes on, as we kind of grind toward or slouch toward Bethlehem. I guess I've been reading a lot of Joan Didion lately. You know, forgive me. But Alyssa, this has been great as always. I wish you were here, or I was there, or we were in the same room. We could, like, beam ourselves into one studio, because it's always a pleasure talking to you. And stay strong, keep it together, and we'll talk next week.
XOXO.
Bye.
Bye.
There's more hysteria after the break.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preddy was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life, and it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
And we're back with Michaela Watkins. I am so excited that she's here in studio today. Hi, Michaela.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. We're so stoked that you're here.
I'm so stoked to be here. This is such a fabulous podcast. Truly.
Oh.
Wonderful. And there's like a hole that exists in podcasts land and you guys filled it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank
You're
you.
You're the penises and dildos of the podcast.
Well, you know, that's the cure for hysteria. Did you know? Just a dildo.
Straight up dicks.
I'm glad we're getting right into dicks. But first, I kind of want to, you know, listeners, if you're not familiar with Michaela's work, she was a star in Hulu's Casual, which is a show that I love. Mm-hmm. It's like,
oh, you watched
such
it. Thank you.
Such a wonderful, great show, and your performance is wonderful.
Thank you.
I knew that I loved the show in season one when your character goes home with a guy that is way younger, mm-hmm. and in the morning wakes up and like folds his clothes and then sends him a text that's like, I folded your laundry or something like that. Anyway, it's an adorable show, and I really loved it.
Oh, thank you. It's such incredible writers. Yeah. So
it just ended after four seasons, mm-hmm. right? How do you feel about that? Like, what's next?
Oh, a bunch of stuff is next. You know, now I'm like dating, you know, I'm actor dating. So yeah. I've done a bunch of things, but I don't know if I'm ever going to have a great love anytime soon like Casual was.
Actor dating means dating other actors, or does that mean looking for a project?
No, it means like I'm guesting on this thing and I'm guesting on that.
Okay.
Or
not committing work dating, to any work one project. Okay.
I did this movie that nobody's going to see, you know, that kind of thing.
Acting like a real slut.
Yeah. Slutting up.
So you're
Hollywood.
A whore.
Yes. I'm an actor whore.
Well, I can't wait to see what comes next. And, you know, honestly, in my experience, when you're not looking, love finds you. So, you know, there you go.
Okay.
And if you are looking, you're fucked. So.
Yeah. Wow, Grace.
Wow. Dark.
Actually, not looking is like the most attractive thing an actor can be, probably, just like in dating. Yeah.
Oh,
That'll just. That's how I got my husband.
Yeah.
I told him I wanted to. I told him I forgot to be a slut and I only wanted a fling. And he was like, I must have you.
That is a great husband impression.
I must have you.
So, Michaela, I'm really glad you're here for this segment of the show. We call it Personal Political, and it's just sort of like news stories get us thinking about things that affect women's daily lives. You listen to the podcast, you know the drill. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the bee that's in my bonnet today. There's always a bee. Mm. During Brett Kavanaugh's hearing yesterday, Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse called criticism of the nomination hysteria. So this is the quote. People are going to pretend that Americans have no historical memory, and supposedly there haven't been screaming protesters saying women are going to die at every hearing for decades. The fact that the hysteria has nothing to do with Kavanaugh means that we should ask, what's the hysteria coming from? The hysteria around Supreme Court confirmation hearings is coming from the fact that we have fundamental misunderstanding of the role of the Supreme Court in American life now. So let's take a moment.
And get into some sass puns.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Just me.
So nobody's interested.
You know,
sasshole.
Ben sasshole. So let's go into the origin of the word hysteria. Like when we picked the name hysteria for this podcast, it was meant to be kind of a wink. Like, hey guys, like this is what. People call women, or this is what people call it when women have strong opinions about things, and we're reclaiming it. Mm-hmm, but apparently some people didn't get the memo that this is kind of an old-timey sexist insult. People used to think in ancient Greece that the uterus was the origin of all disease. Mm-hmm. And they also believed that a wandering uterus caused women to go crazy. Later,
where do they think it goes?
I don't know.
All up and down the body.
It drives cross country.
Yeah, it goes on a wild road trip through your body. Like they used to give you like smelling salts, so it'd be like they'd put shitty odors by your face,
right, and to remind your uterus to be down there.
Yeah, yeah, and then they'd put the good smells by your genitals. It'd be like to coax the uterus, to lure it back.
Oh my god!
Wait, they would give you shitty smells near your.
Yeah, the bad odor would be near the nose.
Why?
When you'd start to pass out to bring you probably to your quote unquote senses.
I always thought that smelling salts were supposed to be good and exciting and like
I think the smelling salts are a different thing. Yeah. It's like this is like because if your uterus is up by your shoulder blade,
you, gotta push
you know,
it down.
It's like you got to get it back down
gotcha.
There.
Yeah. Okay. Well the actual term hysteria. So the Greeks had these real wild ideas about how women went crazy. The actual term hysteria emerged during the medieval witch trials, which is funny because we're in the midst of a witch hunt right now,
yeah,
right?
We are.
Where we keep finding witches, real witches. There were diagnoses of hysteria that persisted through the 19th century, especially for women who found themselves to be a part of the suffragist and feminist movements. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're a woman who wasn't behaving correctly, it was because your womb was making you crazy.
It's because you're a witch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a witch, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like, that sounds awesome.
You know, and also you were sort of a witch if you didn't want to be controlled or you didn't want to be murdered. That kind of made you a witch, too.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Opinions make you a witch.
Right. Those make you a witch.
Yeah. Opinions make you a witch. I think that's the episode title.
Opinions make you a witch.
I learned so much today.
So here's the really wild thing about hysteria and the fact that a sitting U.S. senator from Nebraska, a great state with a shitty senator, hysteria was classified as a mental disorder. And it wasn't declassified by the American Psychiatric Association until the 1950s. It was a real, wow. Mm-hmm. It was yeah. a real mental disorder.
Well, they had other disorders to deal with. So many. It was all just kept disorders. Moving down the list.
They just like, kept
we'll
giving
get
it salts to
we'll,
push it down.
Yeah.
Get to it. We're just going to move it down the list.
So there are people alive today who might have been diagnosed with hysteria.
Hysteria, mm-hmm. Yeah, in the 1950s or before.
I like that we're reviving that
when
now.
Their uterus went on Rumspringer.
Uterine Rumspringer. That sounds like a really bad like thrash metal album.
Uterine Rumspringer.
I wanted to kind of talk though about how, you know, hysteria is like the most gendered and obvious thing, but there are a lot of men try to shut women up by calling them crazy all the time. Mm-hmm. What are some I was just thinking, you know, other words that they use, like crazy is one, calm down. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some other things that you think men fling at women to try to tell them that they're being insane, which is when they're not being
insane. I mean, insane, honestly, gets used quite a bit. Emotional, I mean, overly emotional.
Yeah.
Crazy is sort of the go-to. I mean, that's like the catch-all, I think, for every woman. And any time, you know, in my 20s and then before I wised up in my 30s, like when I had a boyfriend who was either cheating on me or wanted to, the girl or the woman that he had his eyes on was always, quote unquote, crazy. So if I said, what's going on with so-and-so, he'd say, oh, her? She's crazy. And that's like, you dismiss her because I've just labeled her a crazy person. And then for some reason, that sated me. I was like, oh, she is crazy. Mm-hmm. She cannot,
she's not a threat.
She's not a threat because I'm not crazy. And I would. And so therefore, she's. And so I would always say to people whenever, you know, and I love to listen to people's problems and I love to give advice. Yeah. And so when people, I did make a deal with myself that I wasn't going to give advice that wasn't asked for anymore. But when people would say, you know, I'm dating this guy, blah, 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 and, you know, and I say, well, what's up with the ex or something? And they go, oh, apparently she's crazy. I go,
Really?
No, she's not. I go, and not only that, ask yourself why she might be crazy. 99% probably he made her crazy. Mm-hmm. And what is crazy? I mean, he might have been gaslit. I've been on the side of that. I'm sure maybe I'm the crazy ex, you know, for all I know, that I've been labeled that to sort of calm and placate, you know, a new person.
The future crazy.
The future crazy. And it that word, like, oh, she's crazy, just makes me mental. Like, it makes me crazy.
Yeah. So a couple thoughts on that. First of all, shout out to the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which I think has been a kind of tongue-in-cheek nod, its own wink, Rachel Bloom's own wink.
Rachel Bloom is fantastic.
She's fantastic. She's mm-hmm. fantastic. But I think that's like a real attempt to reclaim the word, too, because, yeah, there's that phrase, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, mm-hmm. is consistent. The second thing that I'll say is I think there is a difference between chronic crazy mm-hmm. and acute crazy. Mm-hmm. And the reality is...
Yeah, Grace is like, as someone who has been labeled crazy many a time.
Let me just break it down for you. I think, I talked earlier about the fact this past weekend I was moving into a new place. My boyfriend's very exciting. But, you know, it can be stressful at times when you're, like, just doing all the shit that it requires to, mm-hmm. you know, move. And I realized at some point after we'd gone, like, maybe 8 or 9 hours without eating and we're exhausted and we got a U-Haul to move furniture in, I lost it a little bit. I was just like, oh, and I got a little mad. And I took a step back and I was like, is that me or is that the situation, mm-hmm. is it also possible that it's fucking PMS? Mm-hmm. And the reality is that my hormones do spike during that time. Mm-hmm. They do for all of us. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, like, with the label crazy, sometimes we do get a little crazy, but that doesn't mean that we're chronically crazy. It just means that there's an emotional spike that happens when you're a woman, mm-hmm. especially if you're on birth control, especially if there are certain things that you're taking, mm-hmm. that spike. And what I think is interesting is we're not acknowledging those normal spikes that happen as women.
Yeah, but I also think that, like, I think that there's something really fucked about the fact that this kind of version of masculinity gets to dictate what is socially acceptable mm-hmm.
totally,
to express.
Totally.
Like, manhood is supposed to be this kind of, the only emotion you express is like wall punching anger after you miss a layup. But, like, yeah, you can't, right, you don't get to express anything. And so when a woman in any way is emotional in a way that is not only in the sort of like masculine anger that men have decided is acceptable, that's, then we're crazy. I don't like using the word like hysterical, crazy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that female intuition is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that sometimes we're reacting to
we're witches. We are.
Witches. We are witches.
We're witches.
Oh, for sure.
We're so powerful that we are magic.
No, but we are.
We're actual witches.
But we are. Yeah.
But I think that sometimes we come to conclusions that are not based on things that we can that are actually concrete. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I have a feeling that something is off right now, and I can't put my finger on why, and I can't explain what it is. And I think that a man or a person seeing somebody reacting to something that can't be articulated will use that. It's like, well, then that can't be true. That has to be something you made up.
But how gendered is that? Because it's like going with the gut, you know?
Yeah.
Like
you're a dude.
Yeah, George W. Bush was very famous for being like, I think with my gut.
Yeah.
And I was you got to learn to read. You know what I mean? Like, also, please read the facts.
Both hands.
Please read it also.
Both hands.
But it was like, he was like, the gut. It's all about the gut. Or like the idea of like emotional, like, or testosterone making you angry or hormones. It's also like everyone's a person.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to have going to have a range of hormones and neurotransmitters in their body at any given point and will experience a range of emotions regardless of their gender. I just want to say one thing. It's so interesting that the girlfriend, Michaela, in your case, is the one who's crazy, as opposed to you being the one who's crazy for accusing the boyfriend.
That's
of,
a good strategy.
You know,
I'm sure that if I had not like just taken his, you know, word of value, that I'm sure that I would have then. You know, I'm sure that if I had harped on it, I'm sure if I had, you know, come back around, if I had recalled the request to, you know, are you sure? Then it's like, don't be crazy.
Right,
you know, then oh no, I'm the one who's crazy,
and that's the worst fate to befall you.
Yeah, I can't be the crazy one. I'm the one in the relationship at the moment. So I'm not. Listen, here's the thing. I'm in my 40s right now, and I was so blind in my 20s in a way that you guys aren't and may never be. And I am so envious because all I wanted to do then was to be normal and to fit in. And that's not what you subscribe to anymore. Young women, you know, in their 20s, millennials and whomever. Like, it's so, and I don't mean to sit here and be like, I'm not even saying this as like, I'm some old crow who's telling you what's what. I'm saying it from the other end where I sit here and go, I feel like I'm 25 right now because everything feels really new to me. Mm-hmm. The ways that I get angry at this guy, at Sass using hysteria over and over and over again and silencing women with it, women who are saying, wait, we don't want to die. We don't want our mothers, our sisters, ourselves, our daughters to die. 25,000, whatever it is, a year, you know, who would die or, you know, from backroom abortions. We don't want that. And you're calling us hysterical. Let me try taking your, you know, how about common sense gun laws? You want to see hysteria?
Yeah.
You know, how about, oh, I don't know. What if we took away your driver's license? You want to see hysteria? Shut up. This kind of anger is something that it always was bubbling and always there. And right now, just like you and everybody else, it's just like coming up as if I'm a young woman who's suddenly going, wait, the world's not fair.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot, too. And a lot of women of all ages that I've talked to are feeling this kind of new, like, it's almost like a vomit of rage where it's just like all the time you're just kind of like, I'm on the verge of puking outrage right now.
This is something that I told my husband the other day. I remember sitting in high school in, such and such history class and hearing, reading about men and men and men and men and men and thinking, God, there's just no women, to draw any of these stories from. And then I remember having this actual thought. Well, I guess it stands to reason that they would make all the policy and do everything because I would never want to fight a war. I would never want to shoot anybody. I'd never want to pick up a musket or a gun or a knife. I'd never want to be in the trenches. Therefore, I probably don't, because I'm not brave enough to go fight a war, I don't get to make the rules. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking, maybe if women made the rules, there wouldn't be a war. Yeah. It didn't even occur to me,
Yeah.
But that's conditioning. So much of that is conditioning. And the idea of what you said about, the idea that rage is bubbling up now, I think there's been a lot of stuff since November, where people feel more likely to be angry about a certain set of circumstances or the way they're treated behaviorally. But I just wanted to I thought this might be interesting. It's like when I was talking to that sexual harassment expert, Nancy Baker, she described being crazy as when your external reality and your internal experience don't match. Mm-hmm. So when your internal reality is like, hey, this doesn't feel good. Like, I don't feel good about what's happening. Mm-hmm. Somebody's not treating me well. Mm-hmm. But then the external reality is like people around you are like, God, it's in your head. You're fine. Yeah. What are you talking about? That is the definition of crazy making for anyone.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's something that I'm kind of hopeful about, though, bringing it kind of back to policy and politics. Generic ballots across the country are showing that Republicans are in big trouble. And every time somebody like Ben Sasse or, anybody who calls women hysterical or tries to tell us that we're being crazy by not wanting to die or not wanting women or people to die, I think that they overestimate how many white men there are. I think that they're going to run out of white men. And there are a lot of women and people of color who maybe sat things out who are now kind of feeling motivated. Because
I mean, I really hope you're right. I just feel like there's such a mentality for groupthink,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just recently, I was in a van with a driver, and we would drive to and from set, and I was telling him how I was just really heartbroken about what's happening at our borders, child separation, just poverty in general, the crisis we're having with fentanyl and everything there. And he just said to me, and I was in Canada, Toronto, very diverse place. And I was lamenting about how wonderful and diverse and how harmonious that city seems to be. And he started to explain to me, because he felt like I'm an older white man, so I can tell you why you shouldn't feel sad for anybody. And I didn't in the car because, one, I was in a van with a man who was driving me in a city that I didn't know. But I just sat there quietly while he told me why I shouldn't feel the way that I feel. Mm. And the fact that he even thought, well, this is my opportunity to I'm giving you a gift right now by calming your precious, delicate little nerves. And I got out of the van and I couldn't sleep that night, because what I wanted to say was, don't tell me how I feel. I know how I feel, and I feel good about the way I feel. I'm glad that I care about other people. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I have compassion. I don't want to change, and I don't need you to tell me why I should. Mm-hmm. And it just, the rage kept me up all night.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's why I think being called crazy is something we can lean into. Mm-hmm. Why not? Why not fucking be crazy and embrace it and accept that it's part of who we are? And that's not a bad thing. Second, I will say, I'm Mexican, grew up with Mexican parents. Latin American culture is a lot more emotional. And I think that's a big difference between the Mexican and the American side of the way that I've grown up, because my mother never held back. And my dad accepted the fact that my mom was going to have those moments of emotion. And rather than say, you're a crazy bitch, he would say, you're a crazy bitch, but I understand it. And I think that's something that to go back to your point about the separation of families at the border and this xenophobia that's increasing in the country, when we shut out people from different cultures, we diminish the chance that we will learn from other cultures. And this is a place where I think that white America could really learn specifically from Latin Americans and from Mexicans. And I think that's something that, so maybe that's also part of why I feel like with the word crazy, we all feel it. And maybe it's acute, maybe it's chronic, who knows, but lean into it.
Yeah, I mean, what you were saying, Michaela and Grace, reminds me a little bit of like kind of the calls to civility discussion where it's like, oh, let's all be polite. Let's all be like people in power want to be able to just push people around and fuck with them. And then whenever you're like, stop fucking with me, it's like, no, calm down. It's like, well, you can't win a game if they're in charge of everything and you're not allowed to in any way circumvent their rules.
Or maybe just tell us, when are we allowed to be mad? Should we just like have a, you know, just hand out a little brochure that tells us women when we're allowed to be angry? Yeah.
Is it like at the Brazilian steak restaurants where you just have a little like a green for go and then a red for stop? If I'm on green, am I allowed to be angry?
Would
now?
You like some restaurant. Medium rare rage just sliced onto your plate in a pile and the juices are just gathering underneath
Exactly.
I want bacon wrapped rage.
This episode of Hysteria brought to you by Fogo de Chao.
Bacon wrapped rage. Well, this has been an incredible conversation, but we have to move on to the weekend sorry because a lot of people were sorry this week.
Yeah.
But first, we got to take a break. When we come back, sorries.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicollet Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline, that is a human life, and it is all happening right now.
Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
And we're back with the week in sorry. Women, we apologize too much. Sorry. Mm. But that makes us experts on when people mean it and when people don't mean it and when people deserve forgiveness and when people deserve to go through the rest of their lives without love or human companionship. So
Kieran has been sobbing a lot.
Yeah.
So
it's,
we know.
It's a sad episode.
Yeah.
Let's go first to our pal. I don't know why she's our pal, but she seems like she'd be a pal. Ariana Grande. Grace.
She's a pal for sure. So Aretha Franklin passed away this past week. Incredibly sad. She just leaves behind a legacy that I think is untouchable. And of course, a dude has to make it all about him. Pastor Charles H. Ellis popped on stage at Aretha's
homegoing.
Yes, her homegoing. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of performers who gave speeches and who sang. And Ariana Grande was one of these singers who came up and did "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman," one of my Aretha favorites. And as Ariana was leaving the stage, Pastor Ellis called her back to the stage to applaud her performance, to confess that he was unaware of her work, saying, "When I saw Ariana Grande at the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell." Okay, so got this. Not only that, but there's photographic evidence of him pulling her
Taco
closer.
Bell.
Him at Taco Bell, looking very confused and wondering where the Ariana Grande is. Pulling in Ariana closer and very clearly and visibly groping the side of her breast.
Side boob. It was a
side boob. Like, it's real explicit. And when I heard about this first, because my mom called me and she was like, "Did you hear about this pastor who called Ariana Grande the sexy taco?" And I was like, "No, what?" I looked it up and then I found out this is what it was, which is, I think, honestly, a great culmination of what this whole story is. Mm-hmm. So I think he has since apologized by saying, maybe I crossed the border. Maybe I was too friendly or familiar. But again, I apologize.
Isn't Make a Run for the Border an old Taco Bell
Yeah, what's slogan? With the taco? Is he in big Taco Bell? What's going on with that?
I don't know.
This is just like, man, we're all here trying to celebrate the legacy of this incredible woman. Let's do that. You know, just don't get touchy with young women, and then call it like an accident. It's just clearly not.
Yeah. Also, if you say maybe in an apology, that's not an apology.
That's not an apology.
Maybe it's not a great word. The other thing is, if you watch the zoomed in footage, it's like after he makes the joke. I can forgive the joke because that's the comedian in me gets upset about that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm like less upset for, you know, Ariana Grande's career and more upset that it's like he's just bad at writing jokes. Like that's the real tragedy there. Okay, so maybe we can forgive that. But when he says it and then that gets a laugh, do you know what I mean? Then it's like he really squeezes her in, and if mm-hmm. you watch like the zoomed in footage, he's like really, and now I'm massaging the side of my own
herself.
Boob.
I love it.
Yeah, and it's like he's really going for it. It's like in this like moment that's televised nationally. It's wild.
Yeah,
but like also let's roll back the footage just like a tiny bit further back, which is the entitlement of a man who, even though Ariana Grande is like invited to sing one of her most iconic songs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He hasn't heard of her.
Right,
and
right.
therefore needs to stop the show because he hasn't heard. Like,
right.
Obviously, that's... she has a place on that stage, but because he hasn't heard of her, mm-hmm. then he's like, wait a minute. And then he, you know, get out here. And he's licking his chops like he's, you know, in a Bugs Bunny cartoon on a canoe and she's a roast chicken. And he hasn't eaten
like he's air
in weeks. And he's just like, come out here. Look at this juicy, nice, yummy, delicious dish on the Taco Bell menu. Yum, yum. Can't wait to get my, you know, mitts on this and just sink my teeth into her. Yum. Look, everybody. Look what I have.
Yeah.
Look what I, you know, can embrace and touch. And it's mine because I just discovered it. And it's really adorable.
That meme definitely needs to be remade with like Ariana Grande as a roast chicken and this pastor as like Bugs Bunny, just like eyes bugging out of his head. Please, someone make that.
Apology not accepted. That was like, I feel like anybody who did that, who behaved that way, which Michaela detailed in a detailed manner spelled out.
It was eloquent.
Yeah, it was great. Looking, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And which is, it was great. But I think anybody that does that is not gonna ever get it. Mm-hmm. I think it's too far gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poopy diaper on him.
Let's move on to our final apology of the day. Kieran, you wanna fire it up?
Sure. This is a Texas doctor says that the pay gap for female physicians is fair because they quote unquote do not work as hard.
I'm listening.
I'm sure that this isn't going to be incendiary for this group at all. Just glaze right over this one. Sounds
great. Easy peasy. I just love like, that.
Oh, everyone's sharpening their knives.
Tell me more, sir. Sometimes I feel like when somebody is about to have a really bad opinion, I want to have like a bubble pipe. It just seems, really?
And an easy chair that just like just flies in, comes out of nowhere, and then you're just like sitting in it, and all of a sudden you're just like blowing bubbles.
Tell me more.
I want a massive hoop skirt that I shift from one side of my cross legs to the other.
And I should like a big cat that I can pet.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Purr.
Well, I think we've made our point.
You're like, do you even want to hear what this guy said? No, it's fine. So he's a North Texas doctor, so Grace, I hold you personally responsible.
Fair.
Dr. Gary Tidges, he made news earlier this week over derogatory comments about female physicians in the Dallas Medical Journal. So this is the quote. He said, yes, there's a section in the Dallas Medical Journal where they're giving like kind of like bright ideas or like great opinions. It was something labeled like that. And then this was his opinion. He goes, yes, there is a pay gap female physicians do not work as hard and do not see as many patients as male physicians. This is because they choose to, or they simply don't want to be rushed, or they don't want to work the long hours. Most of the time, their priority is something else. Family, social, whatever. Whatever was one of my favorite parts of this. Nothing needs to be done about this unless female
whatever
physicians...
is that complaining club that everybody belongs to.
Yeah,
100%.
Go to your complaining club.
Whatever.
Drink your white wine, spritzers.
Nothing needs to be done about this unless female physicians actually want to work harder and put in the hours. If not, they should be paid less. That is fair. So obviously, he apologized and this was on CBS News, and obviously this got a huge backlash on social media, and people who were physicians were tweeting at him and saying, this is how many patients I see a day, and I also look after a child, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So to me, I mean, oh yeah, soft pass on this one. He's just doing his best with my cat. No, not. It's obviously, when somebody's this tone deaf, part of me is just like, your life won't last forever.
You're going to be one of those that dies.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably...
One of those mortals. Yeah. My thought here is like what's an underlying upsetting element here is to imply that wanting to prioritize work and family and like having a life outside of work is somehow bad. Mm-hmm. That it's somehow... more appropriate or more acceptable, more ambitious, more exciting to have a life that is all work. Yeah. I don't know if you guys read the Aspen Institute, but there was this great article that came out in yesterday's Aspen Institute about the work-life balance and how ultimately it's extremely detrimental to your health if all you do is work. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk being an example of somebody who's kind of spoken outwardly about how terrible his like work-life balance is and how
much... that man is not having a good year.
Yeah, he's not having a good year, but he is also kind of a shit fest. So, but the reality is like there. I hate that this implies that for a woman or for a man to want to have a life filled with family and friends and love outside of work, that that's somehow bad, and that somehow means that you should be paid less because you deign to go home after work and have dinner with your
that
family.
In any way that there's a gender line about who does that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, and also I should say, God bless an electric car. I mean, it's unfortunate the man who's making them is crazy and hysterical.
Yes.
But we need more electric cars. Anyway, said that. But it's just amazing because I have a doctor that, I mean, I could be on fire and he's like somewhere. So, you know, I find that my female doctors have been the most attentive. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we even have to like have a conversation about what this guy said just shows you how screwed up the internet is, you know?
Yeah.
That we even have to sit here and have a conversation about how stupid what he said is. And also, the fact that this man is of the world of science and medicine and this is his deduction makes me scared for all of his patients. Mm-hmm. That they would go in there and say, like, you know, I have trouble when I breathe, you know? And he would probably say, well, maybe if you didn't spend all your time trying to breathe. Like, that's what I feel like this man's brain does.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like he's kind of advocating for being a shitty dad. He's like, you should just work all the time and never see your family.
Yeah, yeah.
Be a shitty dad and a great doctor.
And he's also condemning good female doctors who sit and listen and take time with their patients.
Yeah.
There's also that incredible double standard of, like, Kavanaugh is like, and the softball team, and like, look at how I look after them, and
my
like the coaching, and my
there.
Daughters, I'm there. And it's like, oh, wow, he's so good at everything. Whereas it's like, how dare she? You know, like that paradox that I think that.
Because, you know, women go home and take naps.
Right.
That's what they do after work. They go home and they don't pay any attention to their lives at all.
How do you know me so well? Oh my God, she gets me.
Oh, man. Oh, well, Dr. Tijs sucks. But we're at the part where we talk about the hills we'll die on. Ladies, you ready to talk about the hills you're going to die on this week?
Erin, I am so ready.
I'm really excited. Michaela, you were talking about cartoons. You're talking about, like, cartoon eating. You know what? I'm not going to try to replicate it. But I was thinking about Looney Tunes, and I really love Looney Tunes now. Mm-hmm. Like, as an adult, they're a real treat to watch. And when I go back and I watch them to kind of, like, unwind, one of the things that I realized is that they play a lot of classical music in Looney Tunes. And I think for an entire generation, that was, like, the introduction to classical music. So that is the hill I'll die on. I actually think Looney Tunes are kind of high culture.
Mm.
Ooh!
I agree. I agree. It's really, it's stealthy, amazing. Uh-huh.
And
writing.
World War II era propaganda Looney Tunes are
smart AF.
Really? No, they're just bananas.
Bananas.
Yeah, they're just bananas. Anyway, Grace, what's your hill?
Okay, I've been thinking long and hard about this because my hill is one that involves a little bit of woman hating, woman on woman hate. Mm.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to do it.
Uh-oh. Wow.
My very least favorite scene in cinematic history is a scene that has not only ruined an actress for me, but also ruined a song.
Uh-oh.
I'm so and that is, I'm like sweating.
I
want to know what it
is.
I know.
It's a little movie called 13 Going on 30. And it's a little scene where Jennifer Garner does a lip sync to Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it is a abortion. It is an abortion that happens that should also be a deportation. I don't know that I got that. It's a portmanteau that I'm working on.
What?
It is the worst thing.
Abortion is a word you made up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot of time at Ashley Furniture looking at deals. It is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Jennifer Garner, why? 13 Going on 30, why? I don't mind Love is a Battlefield. It's a great song. This scene, it ruins it. She's dancing around with a group of 13-year-olds, and she literally starts a scene by saying, "We are young, heartache to heartache." And then the song swells, and they're lip-syncing. It's awful. It's awful. And Twitter, come at me with this. Actually, two things. Twitter, come at me with this. Second, mm-hmm. I want to know if there's an overlap. I am sure there is between crooked pods. So we here at Hysteria obviously love our compatriots at Keep It Podcast. Louis Vertel is a friend of mine who is like he defines pop culture aficionado. Mm-hmm. I want him to tell me what he thinks about Jennifer Garner as a career, and then also Jennifer Garner in 13 Going on 30, because I think it's terrible. that's the hill that I'm going to die on, and I hope I never see that scene again.
You are dying hard with a vengeance this
week.
Yeah, I am.
Almost a little blaze crazy.
Oh, a little
where
crazy.
Are my salts? Getting a little, got to put the good salts.
Push that womb.
That's right.
Down.
Put the good salts by your genitals. Jeez.
You're acting hysterical.
Yeah. Now I want to see it.
I think women are always put into like awkward situations where they're like, where the writer's like, well, I don't know. What do women like to do? Maybe we'll just have them dance.
Yep,
and
yep, 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 yep.
And exactly. Like, all the actresses are like, okay, yeah, are we ready to shoot this scene where I dance and sing?
I am neither of these things. I am neither a singer nor a dancer, but yeah, sure.
Why not a pillow
fight? Let me do on camera the only thing we ever do alone in our bedroom without anybody else around. Yep. Okay, ready? Yep. Are we rolling? Dance and sing time.
I want to please so badly.
Okay, Karen, what's your hill?
God, I was between two this week. I mean, listening to Grace's passion. I'm going to say this. I really dislike loud talkers.
Mm. Oh, God.
I'm with you on
it's,
that.
It's like, and maybe this is because, you know, I grew up in an Indian family and we were constantly paranoid about surveillance.
Mm-hmm. But not how I thought that sentence would end.
Yeah, but it's like, why, like, we're at brunch and you're just going to just be like, and then my boyfriend said, shut the fuck up. You don't know who's sitting next to you. I have listened to entire, like, I was watching two people yesterday, like, flirt at a restaurant and then talk about how everyone else was, like, stupid and like should be deported, and I was like, I'm also here, like you don't know that now a lot of people might know that you're terrible and I should have taken a picture of you, you know. Like don't be loud with your shitty opinions. Keep that private to the people you can trust,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
right? Agreed.
I'm with you.
Michaela, do you have a hill that you're willing to die on?
I have like 100 hills. I've narrowed it down to 3. Okay. Should I just roll them?
Just roll them, yeah.
Okay.
You get 3 because you're the guest.
I don't know. Maybe you guys have talked about this because it's obvious. Shishito peppers as an appetizer. Like, should we get some for the table? It's like, no. And everybody's like, ooh, did you get, ooh, yum. And everybody hands in there. And you're like, it's an ingredient. You're eating one part of a shitty dish, which is like, if I had shishito peppers, I would be pulling them out of something. So, you know, just stop pretending it's like a delightful appetizer. Somebody was just like, I don't know, I don't have any food. Mm-hmm. Just we'll lightly char it, and then Cheetos. It's terrible.
Throw
it's
some bonito flakes, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, gross. No, nobody likes it. Nobody wants it. Okay. Everybody pretends they do because they're just like hot peppers. I'm spicy and fun. No, you're not. It's a terrible appetizer. The second thing is, real fast, soup for breakfast. I don't know why people don't have on the menu a hot bowl of broth, okay? I want it's the first thing I want in my body in the morning is a savory broth, okay? I don't know why it's not there. The third thing is what I feel the most strongly about, and this is a little banal because I'm sure we've all tread this, but I have to say it again as Emmy season is upon us. Heels can go fuck themselves. Mm-hmm. Every time, you know, you dress up, you have this pressure that you're supposed... I'm not talking about a platform. I'm not talking about a booty with a heel. I'm not talking about an espadrille. I'm talking about a shoe that keeps us down. A shoe that when I watch a gaggle of women, because that's a real nice way to talk about a group of women, crossing a street in New York City and three left behind in the dust because they can't walk. And I just think the car's going to hit them. And if we were in the wild, like an animal would eat them. Mm-hmm. They are the stragglers and crippled. And they're the first to go home at night because they can't walk. And so when all the wheeling and dealing happens at these events, women are like, I have to get out of here because I'm going to cry die because I can't move. And so I had this idea that when you go to any kind of event or red carpet or any bullshit where you have to get your picture taken, you want your ass like 3 inches higher than it already sits if you were in a flat. You have a cubby at the end, you check your shoes, somebody gives you flip-flops, and you enjoy your night, and you go and make big, fat deals, and you control the world. But if you have to wear the heel, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's what I...
The
that's
second
my...
shoe. The second shoe is a really important component of being
Let's just
successful.
Obliterate the first shoe. Yeah. Can we just obliterate it? And I get it. Some people are like, I just feel comfortable in a heel. No, you don't. You don't do yoga in heels. You don't feel comfortable in a heel. It's a lie. Eat your shishito peppers and enjoy your heels.
You'll be over here with your bra.
I definitely liked that your first one was like, you guys have probably tread this. You guys have probably been here. Oh, so cliche.
Of course, they talked about shishitos.
One time I had a shishito pepper. I got the hot one, and it was so hot. When I got home and I went to bed, I had nightmares about how hot the pepper was.
Oh, my God. I've never had. I was like, when you were saying shishito peppers were hot, I was like, no, they're not. I was just like categorically like,
There's always one.
Okay, there is one. I was like, Grace, come on.
I don't think that they're too spicy, but there's always one.
The nightmare pepper, they call it. I call it the nightmare.
It's more the communal sharing of it.
They call it the nightmare pepper.
You know, I call it the nightmare
Get some edamame. Like even that, sure. Somebody pulled it out of a freezer and stuck it in a bowl. But it's still an ingredient.
Yeah, I respect all these hills that we're all going to die on. But that's all the time we have. This was so fun. This is so fun. Michaela Watkins.
Thank you, Michaela.
Karen Deal, Grace Parra, me, and we'll be back next week with more Hysteria. So Annie, get your gun. Give them what they want, it will never be enough. You can take what you want from me. Yeah, I'll say it loud and we're gonna shut it down. All the girls to the front with me. Girls to the front. You like what you heard? Please rate us on iTunes and tell all your friends. We'll be back next week. If you wanna get real naughty, me up, sip, sip a hot toddy. You wanna get knocked out, you'll be sorry. You wanna go and cry out to mommy. Do my 1-2 step with the bass drum. I'm in the coconut, make me go. Straight from the bottle, I slurp this rum. I'ma get me some. Give them what they want, it will never be enough. You can take what you want. The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Pretty was executed. by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.